That awesome music is Miri's Magic Dance, and that is by Kevin MacLeod. Hey everyone, thank you so much for coming around and giving Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler a listen. I'm your host, Casey, and here you can tune in to my own awesome adventures from different interesting areas around the States and other countries as well. Some of these in which you will be familiar with, and others will most likely be entirely new to you. I'll also sometimes chat about fun facts, history, culture, and bizarre mythical creatures around these areas. So today's mythological creature is a very interesting one. There's a place about 30 miles southeast from Raleigh where two rivers, Ha River and Deep River, come together to form Cape Fear. It actually forms the mouth of Cape Fear. And it's received a very special name, Mermaid Point. Now, why do you think that might be? It's this very place where mermaids have been spotted by some eyewitnesses. There have been sightings as far back as the mid-1700s. Wow. Locals would stumble home past the river after an evening at the old tavern. There was a sandbar in this certain area, and it was here that it was claimed the mermaids would be. There's been the question as to why mermaids were quite a ways from the ocean, upstream in a river. Some say it's because the salts can be damaging to their hair, so they would go upstream to help ensure their locks remain nice and luminous. So here they would comb their hair while singing, laughing, and talking amongst each other, and they would go below the water if they heard someone coming or noticed anybody around. And it's a bit of an interesting story that these mermaids were spotted on the way home from the tavern rather than on their way to the tavern. Maybe this is an old tavern goer's tale, or perhaps not. What do you think? The sandbar no longer exists, sadly enough, as there had been a dam that was built and it raised the water level right over the sandbar. So, fact or not, we may never know. Maybe it is an old tavern goer's tale, but I find it very interesting as there have been many that have actually seen the mermaids. Unfortunately, we can't ask them anymore because it's been quite a while since that had happened. But there will be a mermaid later on in our episode, so tune in and find out more. Join me today. I am so excited to share a truly bizarre and fun place. Bizarre is actually in the name. This place would be the Bizarre Museum in Wilmington, North Carolina. So Wilmington is a place that's known for having many TV shows and movies filmed right in this very city itself, which is really awesome. But we're not here to talk about that today. So do you like the strange and unusual, the bizarre and interesting? Then I have a fun share for you. I love this kind of thing. Seriously, it's like right up my alley. It's totally my thing. I've always found it to be so fascinating. Now, I like to make up stories about some of the fun things in this museum, and I might be spot on, or maybe I'm completely off. I'll never know. But maybe I'll get to hear a little bit about these stories today. So to get into the museum, you have to pay a hefty sum of $3. Whoa, that'll drain your wallet, right? Just kidding. It's definitely worth it. And if you want to check out the Hall of Mirrors, it's going to be a little bit more. Keep listening for some of the interesting things that this amazing bizarre museum holds. There is the Hall of Mirrors. Don't get lost. You can actually take some rad selfies here, though. True story. You can see one in the thumbnail, so you get a good look of what it's like. Yeah, it's a pretty cool place. And there's a unicorn horn. Wonder if it's actually a unicorn horn or if it's from a narwhal or something. You know how the Queen of England has a unicorn horn? Come on. Isn't that right? Or maybe it's from a unicorn. Who knows? Maybe it's actually a unicorn. But definitely interesting. The mystery continues. And then there's a mermaid, who looks like she's in a lot of pain. Maybe someone took her dinglehopper. A little bit of humor from the Little Mermaid. Anyways, I'm sure she would have some crazy stories to tell because mermaids, they can't be without their dinglehoppers. You know, they have to be able to brush their hair somehow. And then there is a chupacabra hand. Ooh, makes you just want to reach out and grab it, though it's in a case, so you can't really do that. And, you know, probably for good reason. Maybe people like to try to shake its hand, but yeah, no can do. And then there's Mike and Joe. Who's Mike and Joe, you ask? Well, they're the Goat Brothers. So they're half goat, half man. And it's such ordinary names for such extraordinary creatures, don't you think? I wonder what was Mom doing? Or Dad? I mean, you don't see goat people every day, so what was going on there? There's some interesting business going on. Anyways, they were shunned from society in South Carolina, and they apparently joined the circus as a sideshow. So yeah, that's Mike and Joe for you. And then here you can see a two-headed calf. Wow, pretty interesting, right? I mean, okay, here's the story. So I wonder if there was a nuclear factory nearby. Maybe Mama Cow is drinking nuclear water. What do you think? I don't know. It could make some pretty interesting stories about that. Or, you know, how apparently aliens like cows maybe left Mama alive. And yeah, maybe it's an alien thing. Kind of crazy, but could be. You never know. For horror movie bluffs, there's a life-size Michael Myers mannequin. Or is it the real deal? I don't know. You can also find a dead soldier and a skeleton that likes pretty snazzy hats. They do have a coffin that sometimes works, and you can go in and close the lid and go for a little ride. My sister actually got to do that. Speaking of sister, she's actually here right now. Wow, crazy, right?
I know, it's a crazy world, you know? It's like we run into each other. I know we live in the same house, but it's like, wow, cool.
I know, so random.
I know. Well, it's good to be back on the old podcast.
Yeah, we have Paranormal Prowlers, Tessa Mara. Woohoo!
Woo woo!
All right, so Tessa, tell us about your journey in that coffin.
Well, mate, it was quite a journey. No, it was a lot of fun. You know, I've always enjoyed that kind of thing. And
writing in coffins?
Yeah, right. You know, totally just chilling out in coffins, caskets, what have you, any type of burial plot. I even fit in an urn one time. It was really hard getting out of that bad boy.
Oh, man. Well, that's pretty crazy. Are you sure it was an urn or was it like a vat or something?
No, it was an urn. Oh, you know, the size of my hand. Yeah, really crazy. Wow. I've been cramped up ever since. That coffin, as soon as you walk in there, it's kind of just there on display. And people are allowed to get in and lay down. And it's pretty neat. Did some investigating in there one night with our friend Teresa. After hours, of course. And yeah, I just laid there and did some recordings. And yeah, it was neat. It's a full-on coffin. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I know sometimes the audio works. Was it working that time?
No, it wasn't. It's supposed to be like a ride simulator thing where, you know, it kind of moves and it shows you a video of, like, I don't remember what it is, like going to a funeral or something and you're in the casket. And that was like 2 years ago though, so it might be fixed now. Yeah. It wasn't at the time though, but it's still cool nonetheless.
Right. Yeah, like going to your own funeral and being alive for it. Whew, that's pretty creepy.
Yeah, well, I've always said that when I die, I want to be there spiritually to watch people at my funeral, you know. It's like, who's crying, who's laughing, who's hanging out, who showed up, who said, ah, screw it.
Like a Huckleberry Finn type thing or Tom and Huck, you know.
Yeah, you know, except I'd be yep. dead and I would hunt. Like haunt people. I'm like, oh, you didn't go to my funeral? It's on. I'm gonna haunt you.
You can, like, at your funeral, you can tap on people's backs.
I know, right?
All right. Well, that sounds very interesting. And then also in this horror section, or, you know, around the museum, you'll also find Freddy Krueger, and there's Pinhead. I don't know if you like these movies, but what do you think, Tess?
Well, yeah, Freddy Krueger is my all-time favorite dude. I met Robert Englund several times in New Mexico, and he is, like, a super friendly, awesome guy. Nice. And I'm friends with Rick McCollum from the Hatchet series. And just those horror guys are real true sweethearts. They're really great. But yeah, besides all those, the Museum of the Bizarre has so many phenomenal things. Some of my favorite things are Houdini's Ouija board, which is pretty impressive. Aleister Crowley's doorbell. The Ghost Deer exhibit was really neat and goes into all the history about that.
Right.
And then, of course, the coffin that you were talking about. They have a serial killer letter wall. Just a lot of interesting, neat things. And I think it's like only $2 or $3 to go in.
Right.
You know, and Linda Blair, when she portrayed Reagan in Exorcist, there's like a cast of her. And I think that's like the only cast, you know, as she was the child actress back then. And so kind of cool.
Yeah.
Stuff for sure. Yeah.
Very interesting stuff, definitely. Yeah. And then with the serial killers' letters, there was some art from them as well.
Yeah. Some of them, which looked like children drawings, but right. Yeah, there was some art there from them too. And I'm trying to remember which particular serial killers, but I can't remember at the very moment because it's been a while since I've been there. But, yeah. You know, we'll have to definitely go back because it is a really, really neat place.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Charles Manson was one of them. I don't know if it was his letters or art, but I know that he was one of the serial killers. So yeah.
Right.
Definitely interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's also a baby dragon skeleton. So yeah, that was pretty cool. They have what they say was a mummified dragon baby. So you'll have to see it to believe it. But yeah, it seemed pretty awesome to me. I've always been into dragons and yeah, definitely cool.
A lot of neat things. They even had like a little David Bowie like praying card. card. You know, like how they give those out at rosaries or funerals sometimes?
Right.
Like just the little tiny card.
Yeah.
And he looked all saintly and stuff. I was like, oh, interesting. All right, then.
He did. I loved that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That was really cool.
I mentioned cool stuff from time to time.
Every now and then. And there's a giant sandal or flip-flop, so you could try it on for size, and maybe it's like a reverse Cinderella looking for her giant prince that took off through the forest after a crazy night. I don't know, I made that up, but you know, you could try on that giant flip-flop. Oh, and then I remember one time when we went, they had all these reptilian creatures, right? Like, they had different types of lizards and snakes, and that was really cool.
That was really cool. That was about a year or two ago, and my friend Teresa is one of the main people that's always there at the museum, and yeah, she let us know that, hey, I know you like snakes, come on over. And so we came over, and one of the employees, she had her own snake there, an Argentina boa, and it was just this gorgeous, gorgeous creature. And she was even wearing it. She almost kind of looked like Queen of the Damned-y, where the snake was wrapping around the top of her head and facing up. And it looks so cool. Mm-hmm. And I actually got a picture of that somewhere, but really neat stuff. And so I got to hold it, and it was starting to do that to me too. I was like, too bad I don't look so cool like she did with that. But yeah, a lot of neat creatures, huge yellow Burmese python type deal, and a bunch of other snakes. And that place is no stranger, that location, to snakes. Get into that.
yeah, definitely. So yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. And also they had is it called a chad, where you put your head in and your hands were as a prisoner, and maybe they could chop off your head or something?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what it's actually called, but yeah, they do have one of those. They have a lot of interesting things. They have like haunted dolls, and they have another one of my favorite things there that I forgot to mention was the Annabelle doll that you see in the Annabelle movies. Yeah. Not the real Annabelle doll that is in the Warren Museum. May they both rest in peace, the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine. But the actual doll that was in the movies.
Right.
And so that was very cool. And actually, when you go there, you're not really allowed to take pictures of certain sections, and that's one of them. I don't know why exactly, but when we were there investigating, I took several pictures with
them. Yeah.
And I'm not saying go and do that. I don't want you to get caught and get busted or anything, but I'm just saying that when I went myself after hours, it was part of the investigation, and so that's why I did that. But that's one of my favorite things there, too.
Yeah, definitely. Very neat stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get into talking about the snake master, Dean Ripa.
So, Dean, he was an international snake expert, and he was the owner of Cape Fear Serpentarium, which was right next door to the museum. And Dean actually owned that whole building, so they were renting it from him. This man, I mean, seriously, a movie could have honestly been made about him. He's overcome so much, from being lost in the Amazonian jungle, to finding himself stranded in the New Guinea highlands, to being held at gunpoint in West Africa, to catching malaria. He's been bitten at least 12 times by venomous snakes. The first time he was 14 years old, and it was by a cottonmouth, very fatal. And he was bit at least 4 times by one of the most deadliest snakes in the world, that being the longest viper, the Bushmaster. And in Costa Rica studies, the Bushmaster has killed 4 out of 5 of its victims. That's 80%. That's a huge number. I mean, death can come in 10 minutes. At times. Not many make it out alive, but he did 4 times. And in the Serpentarium, he was very successful with breeding these very deadly creatures. He would actually go out into the jungles and catch these gorgeous snakes and bring them back, and he would give them beautiful homes. And so he overcame a lot. In 2017, he was actually murdered by his wife, the man who overcame just so much. And since his death, his apparition, full-bodied apparition, has been seen in the museum. He lived up above the Serpentarium, so that was his home. He was there every single day, and he loved that place. And often when he was alive, he would go into the museum and through the back little side door and wave at them and stuff, and, you know, sometimes talk with them and then go into his place. And a lot of the times people, including my friend Teresa, has actually seen this full-bodied apparition standing right there, kind of looking over the place. And so I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, that is definitely super interesting.
Yeah, and when we were doing spirit box sessions, I had taken pictures of these gorgeous snakes when I was a visitor at the Serpentarium, and I printed them out and brought them in. And yeah, we were getting a man's voice saying like Gaboon Viper and different things like that. And so I thought that was pretty darn cool.
Right. Yeah. And I think Mamba was something that came through as well.
Mm-hmm. Mamba and just several different things. So
yeah,
we definitely came into contact with him. He even said his son's name a couple times. And I won't say that out of privacy to his son. But yeah, it was a pretty neat thing. It's very sad what happened to him for sure. I mean, he overcame so much from being in some of the deadliest places in the world and being bitten by the deadliest creatures in the world,
right?
That if he weren't killed, what would have taken him? You know, like, how would he have died?
Right, yeah. And some of you might have seen him on TV before. He was on a show, wasn't it The Deadliest Snakes or something?
Yeah, you know, the show, it is on Netflix, and it's called 72 Dangerous Animals, Latin America. And it's kind of cool because Justin and I, we were watching this show, and all of a sudden it would talk about like a snake bite, and then it would have a couple experts come on, and one of them would be him. And we're like, we know that guy, like, that's kind of cool. But yeah. So he was on several episodes. Every single time it had a snake, it talked about a snake bite, usually he was on. And so I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, that is very neat. Definitely. How did you know him?
Yeah, so we loved the Serpentarium. I just love animals in general, and I've always been curious about snakes. I think they have kind of a bad reputation at times, and so I thought it was neat to go there. We loved going to Wilmington anyway, especially Old Wilmington. And one time we just kind of stumbled upon the Serpentarium. We went in, and it was so cool. We ended up going in on a weekend, and this guy, who turned out to be Dean, was cordoning off areas and actually feeding some of these very venomous snakes. And I guess they only did this on Saturdays and Sundays, I believe. And we were there on a Saturday. And I remember it was so cool watching this man feeding like the Gaboon Viper, which is a gorgeous, deadly snake. He was also feeding the King Cobra and several other snakes. Yeah, it was just utterly amazing and impressive, you know, and there was no shield between him and the snake, you know. When he opened it, it was this big glass door that kind of went above. And so really no protection at all. Wow. But he absolutely loved these snakes. But it was phenomenal. So we ran into him one day after he was doing this. He was just so friendly and accommodating. And, you know, a few weeks later, we came back and we ran into him again. We're talking to him. And he was just so nice, you know. And besides snakes, they had lizards. They had a crocodile.
Yeah.
They had so many different things. They had an alligator snapping turtle. When he came to them, they had dug out a musket ball that was in him.
Jeez.
In his shell. And when they did the studies, it was from the very early 1800s, I believe, if not the late 1700s.
What? Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as of 2017, this fellow was still alive. So this alligator snapping turtle, and he was ginormous.
Jeez.
And so I thought that was very amazing that he was so old. I mean, it's amazing how old these creatures can get to. So that was impressive. But yeah, he was talking to us about him. He was very proud of that fella. And Dean was also telling us, oh yeah, I caught this snake. I went into the jungle. And, you know, a lot of the zoos and exhibits would actually pay Dean to go in the wild and catch these snakes. Mm. And he loved them so much that he would make sure they went to good homes and stuff. Not like, you know, be stuck in a little, you know, tiny compartment thing. But
yeah,
so every time we went there, we would look for Dean, and it was really a lot of fun. And unfortunately, one time we went, and there was a sign on the door saying that they were closed due to a death. And so we were like, a death? And then on the bottom, it said something like, rest in peace, Dean. And so I looked it up, thinking, what bit him that finally killed him, you know?
Right, yeah.
But so it makes sense that he's around. But I mean, it's not like we were friends. We didn't go out to have coffee or drinks at all. But every time we went there, he was a friendly face. And we always chatted with him. So we were acquaintances, friendly acquaintances, at least, you know, he knew us when we'd go in.
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely too bad. That's very sad about what happened. And
yeah, for sure.
It sounds like a really neat place. I never got to go up there myself. But yeah, I would have loved to have checked it out, you know, when it was open and met the awesome legend, Dean. Definitely.
Yeah.
Neat place. But yeah, you could still check out the Bizarre Museum right next door. So, you know, that's a really neat place. And there's so much there and more. So it's a small museum, but it's very enjoyable, and I found many interesting things. So if you find yourself in Wilmington, North Carolina someday, check out the Museum of the Bizarre. Definitely recommend it. And yeah, thanks for coming on, Tess. It was great having you. And
yeah, thanks for having me back on.
Yeah. And everyone, check out her podcast, Paranormal Prowlers. You can find her on Facebook and Twitter. Have you been to the Bizarre Museum? Or have you seen a mermaid before? Or do you have another interesting place that you would like to talk about? I would love to hear from you. And you can reach me at randomindietraveler@gmail.com. Be sure to come back next week and tune in for another awesome adventure. This time, I will be talking about the amazing Eiffel Tower in France, not Las Vegas. So tune in to find out more about the Eiffel Tower and my journey. Have a great week, everyone. I'll catch you in the next one.